What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, November 30th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the busiest lady in the business, Andrea Renee.
What's good, Greg?
Life.
Right?
Pursued happiness.
You're looking a little stressed out.
What's giving that away?
Are you doing all right?
I'm hanging in there,
Do you
Andrea.
Need any assistance? I'm sure it's at that point now where people ask you if you need help, but it's too difficult to delegate.
I'll tell you. Kinda Funny Game Showcase 1 week from today. Tomorrow. That's where we're at. That's where the end. Oh, the hype is off the charts, dude. Tim read the script. I finally completed draft one of the script last night and sent it off to him. And he says he's got chills multiple times. Because we got a fucking show. December 8th, Saturday, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, YouTube afterwards.
And Lucid Dre Forum wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and asked, are you guys crunching for the showcase right now? How are you holding up?
Oh, yes, Lucid Dream, we are crunching for the showcase. It's a lot. It's
I totally
a lot,
butchered
so,
your
yeah.
name, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. It's your first glance. Lucid Dream's been around a long time, so it's one of those. I've seen it for years and years and years.
My
and
bad.
Years. No, don't worry about it, Andrew. Yeah, no shirt and tie today, because there's no time. We're actually doing a press release. We're working with a PR firm on it. There's all these different things. So there's a million questions on that end today, and then of doing all these, that, and then I'm trying to do the script. And then, of course, the people with the assets, like today, you know, we had the original asset date of like mid-November, and a lot of people missed that date, and now we're here to hear. And then it's like, when do we get it? And we got to turn it over to Mary Kish at Twitch. And so it's a lot. And then it's just like making sure we're filming it all tomorrow. Filming all the live stuff tomorrow.
Wow.
A lot of stuff going on here, Andrea. You sending your stuff. Don't tell them what it is, but thank you for your support there.
Hey,
we'll see
listen,
if any of that makes it.
I got you.
A whole bunch of things. It's all changing as it goes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's all changing. And then I've got to have the final answers for tomorrow, though, on what we actually say into a camera.
And the hard part for you is you have to really stick to your guns with those deadlines and tell people, if you don't make the deadline, we got to cut you.
For the most part, honestly, for the most part, everybody's been great.
Good.
And even the people right now, we're like 4 or 5 assets short probably of where we're supposed to be. And those people from the get-go have been like, we're going to do it. It's going to come down to the wire or whatever. And I'm like, I get it. Like, we understood. And, you know, the edit will be fine in terms of getting it there. I just want the main thing, of course, this Jeff Keighley guy throwing this little game awards event. I want to make sure, you know, this for us is locked on Wednesday night.
Right.
So that I can hand it off to the partners we need to hand it off to. And we can go to the game awards, you and me, get drunk. With Jen.
Heck yeah.
John will drink Diet Cokes, but
we'll
party. Did you book dinner? Are we doing a dinner?
I haven't booked yet.
Eyes are on you to fix this, Andrea.
Okay.
You and Tara Bruno. You're the only people who I know can make this happen.
Well, listen, if anything needs to get done, Tara and I are on it.
Exactly. Yeah. Tara Bruno, crazy woman. I mean, she was, you know, it's because I was talking about her on one of the shows recently, and it made it was way back to her. I think Gamescast. Yeah, Gamescast,
because
I had the Astro guys, and she had set that up or whatever. And then, of course, she's another one for the Kinda Funny Game Showcase, killing it. Hopefully, if everything works out, you'll see what I needed help from for other developers, other personalities, all this stuff. And she's like, I gotcha. And she's on a plane sending me a bunch of stuff.
If you ever need anything done, Tara Bruno will get it done.
That's it. Tara Bruno PR, right? Is that the
Tara Bruno PR, yeah. Okay. That's her company.
Hit her up. Work with her. If you didn't know, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD, with your questions, comments, concerns, bad PSN names for a little while longer, and everything else under the video game sun. Quick aside that I never do in the intro, had a dream / nightmare, I guess, the other night that PlayStation came out and was like, listen, it's too hard to change names. We're not going to be able to do it. And I was like, damn, I can't believe they put up this announcement.
Oh, man.
People would flip out.
That would be bad.
If you can watch this recorded live, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you, the Kinda Funny Game Showcase is 1 week from Saturday. We have 60 games to show you, and we couldn't be more excited. Come see what we've got. Saturday, December 8th at 10 a.m. Pacific time on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're out and about, you can follow at Kinda Funny Vids on Twitter for all the news, or catch the showcase later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Remember, once we wrap on Twitch, after party, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, we'll be playing Smash Brothers.
I'm going to come by.
I don't think
I'm going to play Smash.
Why
not? Because I'm really bad at Smash.
First off, Smash, it's the game of equals. Anything can happen out there, all right? You don't have to worry about it. You're not going to be judged.
Do you remember what happened to me during the Extra Life stream and we played Mario Party? And I almost killed Aiden.
I do remember that.
It almost happened. I just, you know.
You're a little too competitive.
Yes.
I understand.
It's a bad flaw of mine, but okay. At least I recognize that it's real.
Sure.
Yeah.
But you need to use that competitive streak to beat Nick Scarpino for the world title.
I'm going to. All right. You know, in the morning show, he tried to convince me that we should play Smash, and I said, it's never going to happen. I will never challenge anybody in Smash because I know my weaknesses.
That's why I like you. You know what to do. Today, we're brought to you by 23andMe, Hims, and Quip, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Three items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Andrew, I believe this first one speaks to you. Ooh. Anthem has news on the closed beta. This is from Chris Pereira over at GameSpot.com. You may soon have the chance to try out the new Destiny-esque action game from BioWare, Anthem. EA has announced an upcoming closed alpha. I'm dying. Closed alpha and signups for it are now live ahead of the test kicking off next week. As outlined on EA's website, the test will be quite brief. It'll run from December 8th through the 9th, though it'll be available on all three of the game's platforms, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. The test will not be available for the entirety of the 2 days, as there will instead be multiple sessions spread across the weekend. In terms of the alpha's purpose, EA explains, quote, "It's an opportunity for you to check out Anthem, but we'll also be adjusting things like matchmaking and server load on the fly. These community play tests are more limited than what we want to share in the pre-launch demos. All of these factors combined mean that we're making access to our play tests limited, which is where the closed part of the name comes from. Signups are now live, and you can register your interest here. Of course, that's a hyperlink on GameSpot you can check out. You aren't guaranteed access just by signing up. You'll need a PlayStation Plus or Xbox Live Gold membership on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, respectively. When registering your interest, you'll need to pick the specific platforms and time windows you're hoping to participate in. Participants will be bound by a non-disclosure agreement. That means, barring any leaks, yeah, right, of course, come on. You shouldn't expect to see players sharing any thoughts, screenshots, or videos from the alpha test. Bullshit. Get ready for people to be putting stuff out left and right.
Well, I hope
left and right, Andrea.
Hopefully not. If you're signing a legally binding document, do not break it. That is not what you're supposed to do.
I agree with you. I am not encouraging you to break your NDA.
But I would suggest to EA and BioWare that you maybe want to make one dedicated session, maybe limit the content that's available in that session, but then make that session available for content capture. Because what's the point of publicizing the fact that you're doing a closed session, but
get
then saying
Anthem fans in there.
That you're not going to be able to tell anybody about it?
Sure. They've done that. I mean, that's usually how a lot of the stuff works. Not usually, but a lot of times.
But they don't spread the news far and wide. It's like it kind of comes about more organically.
Right.
Maybe I'm wrong about that. We have a place for that. It's kindoffunny.com/you're wrong.
Yeah, that's going to be hyperbole. And, you know, come on.
Yeah, don't editorialize. But maybe if you guys have a specific closed alpha.
I'm just saying, I know that there's an Anthem fan who got excited about this, clicked on the link, registered, and didn't read any of that. Much like when a young Greg Miller got into the PlayStation home beta at IGN and then made videos and wrote a giant article. And Sony hit up the young Greg Miller and was like, what the fuck are you doing? You signed an NDA. And I was like, huh, all right. But luckily, no one really cared about PlayStation Home, and so they just leave it up. But what the hell were you thinking? I was like, that's great. Thanks, Jeremy Dunn. Good tip.
Read things before you sign them, kids. That's your pro tip
of
the day.
Or just Cool Greg, when's the last time you read anything you signed?
Oh, I'm a writer, so I read everything I write.
Oh, now I see what he's up to over there. Number two on the road. Or, well, I guess Anthem. We know you're super excited.
Yeah. I want to anticipate a game for next year.
I want to get to the a beta. I want to get my hands on it. I want to get behind the sticks, as the kids say, Andrew.
Looks like early February is going to be the time for that. Isn't that when they said the demo is? They announced that back at PAX West earlier this year.
I'm a little too frazzled to have that kind of information at my fingertips
anymore.
I'm
pretty sure it's the beginning of February. But what I
and
do,
then March is release day, right?
Right. No, February 22nd is the release day. So what I right, what I like about them doing it now, unlike what Fallout 76 did with their early tests, is that if they do it now, that gives them at least like 60 days to try to like tweak some stuff on the back end before the wider open demos happen at the beginning of February.
Yeah, exactly, I guess. Yeah, actually get people out there, because I'm sure obviously they've been doing friends and family stuff.
Internal QA,
exactly.
Yeah.
People have been playing, but you need to get, and I think that's why they're shouting it far and wide, is that you need people with different circumstances playing it, right? You need to get a larger swatch of the community. Not to mention that, at least from what I see, it seems with every beta or test thing, you're never going to be able to actually accurately predict what it's like when millions of people jump on.
Oh, no, of course not.
Yeah.
But you got to make an attempt.
Yeah. What color is your javelin going to be? What are you going to make your javelin look like?
I usually go with a variety of purple, pink, white, silver.
That's good. That's a good one. I like that a lot. Number two, Pokemon Go is getting PvP, nerds. Over on the Pokemon Go Twitter, they tweeted, or Niantic Twitter, they tweeted, get prepared, ... Trainer battles are coming soon to Pokemon Go! Hashtag go battle. And there's been a whole bunch of other little things they've been tweeting. Goldfarb's freaking out, of course. Everybody's going crazy.
It's about time they added PvP.
I'm joking around about it, but yeah, that's awesome. And again, man, hats off and kudos to Pokemon Go for continuing to thrive and continuing to be a game people actually play and love playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I started playing Pokemon Let's Go.
You did a stream, right? Yeah, you and Britt. Tell me about it. What'd you think?
Well, you know, it was fun. It was really easy, but I'm in the very beginning of the game, of course. And Britt was there to handhold me and explain everything.
Yeah.
Because I, you know, I'm very clueless about how Pokemon works. And, you know, shout out to everybody who showed up in the chat yesterday. It was funny because I tried to get her to explain to me how the elemental system works. So I was like, are there any like clues or indicators about like which Pokemon match up against each other? And Zygur in the chat was just like, no, you just got to know.
Yeah.
And Britt.
Of course it makes sense that grass beats rock. I'm like, what?
Yeah, Britt was like, oh, yeah, you just use your brain. And I go, wait, what? And she's like, wait, that came out wrong. And then she just showed me this giant spreadsheet. And I was like, whoa, okay. Yeah. So clearly this is something I'll need to study for a long time, which I'm not going to do.
No. Are you going to go back to it, you think? Or is this just something you tinkered with? And you're like, all right, cool.
I mean, it might be something I play, like if I'm traveling.
Yeah.
Like on my Switch, like on an airplane or something. Yeah. Just for to, you know, kind pass of relax and chill out.
That's I played it on the trip out to Chicago, the trip back to Chicago. And when we went down to L.A. for Survivor Series, and that's exactly what it was. It was a great one to pair with conversation with Jen, or on the way back I was watching movies or had movies on listening to them while I was catching Pokemon or whatever, because it is, with all the respect, for the most part pretty mindless, right? Of like wandering around, I need more Pokeballs, I'm capturing, I'm getting XP, I'm going up against an enemy, they're too tough, I'll go back and farm some more Pokemon, I believe is they're called.
Oh, that's the plural, Pokemons?
It really pisses people off. Number three on the Roper Report, Stardew Valley is switching to self-publishing almost 100%. This is Rebecca Valentine over at GamesIndustry.biz. Stardew Valley creator Eric Baroni, known as Concerned Ape, has announced today he plans to take over publishing for his hit farming simulator Stardew Valley next month on all platforms except mobile and Nintendo Switch. Baroni is the sole developer of Stardew Valley, but Starbound and Wargroove studio Chucklefish has handled the publishing role on all the platforms since it launched in 2016. Chucklefish will remain as publisher for the Switch and mobile versions, parentheses including an upcoming Android release, but Baroni will take over all other versions on December 14th. Quote, when I first released Stardew Valley, I was a complete novice to the video game industry, Baroni said. Chucklefish, as my publisher, oversaw the distribution, console ports, and translations of the game. They set up the official wiki and helped me redesign the entire website to great effect. And, of course, Tom Coxon did amazing work adding network code to the game, making multiplayer a reality. But I'm at a point now where I'm ready to move forward on my own. I think self-publishing is the end goal of most indie developers, and I'm happy to be in a place where that's possible. Baroni has hinted that his publishing role will not just involve continued support of the game as it is now, hinting about an update. Quote, the future of Stardew Valley will be coming soon. More of a congratulations there. It's Friday. It's a slow news day. Congratulations.
Did you cover this yesterday?
Oh, yeah, we talked about that. We can bring it up again, though.
I didn't listen to the whole show. I just got through the first 10 minutes.
You know what I mean? Busy Slady. It's okay. I understand. It's in your title. No, but shout out to Stardew Valley doing so well that it can branch off and publish on its own. I do think that is the goal for most indies, right? Like,
absolutely. That's how they retain more of their profits, by not having to splice off a percentage to somebody else.
And it's cool to see an indie game be that successful. And it sounds like this relationship with Chucklefish is good enough that like they seem to be like, all right, great, you know, I'm glad that you're able to break off and do your own, we'll still help you here, but you know, we're happy for everything that's happened.
I have to make a confession.
Oh god, here we go.
Every time I see this shirt, it weirds me out.
The Kind of Funny Glitch Tee, available on kindoffunny.com/store right now.
I'm like, I have to do a double take, but it's intentional.
Yeah You like it or not like it? It's attention grabbing, you'll give me that.
It is. I have to say I like the other new design a little bit better.
Oh, the KF side one?
Yeah. I wish you guys had it in a lady style because it looks so cute with the curve on the side.
Joey! Joey! Huh? Oh, on the Wii U, getting ready for it, I understand. All right, well then, tell her, get out there, figure it out, you know what I mean? Thank you, because she's got to do it as a merch people. I don't know, yeah, this is the thing here now. You know, of course, we knew coming in, everybody is going to be crazy about Smash Bros. But the idea that now people are practicing on Wii U to get ready for the real thing, I'm just like, guys, I swore to never touch the Wii U again, and I won't. I won't.
Stick to your guns.
I will. Andrea, yes. I can't wait to see what the future of Stardew Valley is, but it's so far away. If I wanted to know what came to the mom and grop shops today, where would I go?
You would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. First and foremost, Joey's here. Yeah. We've pulled you away from your Wii U training. What is happening is this, all right? Andrea has requested the KF side shirt in a female variety. Okay. Thank you. Make that happen, all right? Here we go. Here come the excuses.
We have to order such a high minimum
and right.
we never sell out of them.
I know.
Come on, kind of honeys.
We're stuck with a bunch of back catalog stuff. So if you guys want the girl shirts, you have to help us sell the girl shirts.
You come on. You know a female in your life. Buy him a shirt. Send it to him. Yeah. Doesn't grandma want it, you know?
Yeah. So
I understand that plight.
What if you did this thing? You order the smallest men's version and then you take a hair scrunchie. And you do one of these things, and you scrunch. Does that work? Is that a thing? Is that a thing?
That's not, no. If anything, you would have to pull it from the back. Like this. But then it would distort the graphic on the side.
Yeah.
The side print wouldn't necessarily be on the side anymore.
Yeah.
Joey, I hate to say this. Your pay's docked. You couldn't do this for Andrew. That's what it is.
No, Greg. Dock my pay, don't dock Joey's.
You know what? I understand that, but to make sure that you understand how this works, I've docked your pay and I'm giving it to Andrea. So that's the thing.
It's okay. I'll just give it back to you.
The taxes. Out today. Ark Survival Evolved is available on the Nintendo Switch. Axis Football 2018 is on the Xbox One. Coffee Crisis is on the Switch. Escape Dude Land is on PC and Switch. Goat Punks is on Xbox One. Harvest Life is on Switch. I Am the Hero is on Switch. Okuno KA is on Switch. Ride 3 is on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Rival Megagun is on Xbox One. Secret Files Tunguska is on Switch. And The First Tree is on Xbox One and Switch. Which I feel like they might have come into Xbox One yesterday or Switch yesterday. But I just whatever Kotaku says, I put on the page. You know what I mean?
Do you know that this is happening? Monster Hunter World's festive winter star event is underway.
No, that's breaking news. Break it for me right now. Or at least I missed it. Oh my
gosh. How exciting is this? So this write-up is from Eurogamer. Monster Hunter World is getting in the festive spirit with its first ever winter star event. Accessible now on Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC. It introduces new quests, new outfits, and new guild card customizations, and more. The focal point of the Winter Star Fest is Astera's Gathering Hub, otherwise known as the Celestial Pursuit, which is currently festooned in seasonal trimmings. It will remain so until the event ends at 11:59 p.m. on December 17th on all platforms. During the event, players will be able to collect Winter Star tickets, which can be used to craft an Orion outfit, a high-level armor set for female hunters, alongside the standard Orion series, a low-level armor set for male hunters. Winter Star tickets are also required to craft the snow set, which transforms your trusty Palico Pal into an adorable snowman!
Oh my god.
Oh my gosh! Also, completing the new Timberland Troublemakers quest, which pits hunters hunters of HR4 or higher against 2 Anjanath. Players can earn Bristly Crake tickets? I don't know what those are. They are used to craft and upgrade the Bristly Pincushion Hammer, modeled after the distinctive bird found in Monster Hunter World's perilous habitat. The Winter Star event also grants access to the sealed Eye Patch and Wiggler Head layered armor sets, both of which can be created from the materials earned in the new King's No Fear quest, which is available to HR 13 or higher. Unclear if the hammer and layered armor sets will be available on PC, given that their related quests aren't currently listed as active on the platform. There's also new outfits for Handler and Poog, the latter of which will be available after the event ends, plus the new Winter Star platter, which can be purchased and shoved gracelessly into your slathering maw via the canteen in the Gathering Hub. This is cool. This actually makes me want to go back into Monster Hunter World.
What a fucking game Monster Hunter World is and was. But man, I've never been more angry that Kevin was right. Of that I did 130 hours and then started playing other stuff, and he's like, we're never going back. And I'm like, no, we'll go back when big DLC comes, and we've never gone back. It's so hard to jump back into. You know what I mean? Like, we were in such a rhythm. We had so much fun.
This is not what I want.
Austin Creed, Xavier Woods. So much good times. I miss it. Yeah. But again, not going back. Gotta get ready for the Division. Sorry.
Oh my gosh.
Division's right around the corner.
He looks like Santa.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm watching the trailer for the DLC.
Hard to believe it was this year, too.
Yeah.
It feels like a lifetime ago where everybody was playing Monster Hunter.
It was a long time. Well, January.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much a lifetime ago. Mm-hmm. No new dates for you. No one announced anything. It's Friday. Deals of the day, however. Gravity Rush 2 is only $6 on the PlayStation Store through December 3rd at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. I think this is only North American. And then Ignacio Rojas wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFG to say, deal of the day, the C64 Mini is $59.99 on Amazon, down from $79.99. And he got that from Wario64, friend of the show. Andrea?
Yes.
It's time for reader mail. First, I'm going to tell you about our sponsors. Number one, 23andMe. Now through December 25th, the 23andMe DNA kits are on sale. 23andMe helps you understand your DNA and what it can tell you about your family's story. It's named for the 23 pairs of chromosomes that make up your DNA. 23andMe Health and Ancestry Service includes 90-plus personalized genetic reports that offer DNA insights into what makes you unique. It's easy to do. You simply spit into a tube provided for you, 23 or in your 23andMe kit, register your sample at the personal 23andMe account, and in a few weeks you receive your personalized online reports. I did it. I'm very white, 52.5% British and Irish, 17.2% French and German, and a whole bunch of European stuff right there. But I like it because it shows you obviously a little bit of health stuff, like what you should be looking for, looking out for. Mm-hmm. It does a whole thing where it connects you with other people who have done it. If you want to, there's a whole bunch of different privacy settings. I'm like, tell them everything. I don't care. Give it away. And then, of course, it's a good gift. You give this to anybody and be like, hey, mom, spit into this. Hold on. Now through December 25th, you get 30% off any 23andMe kit. Order your DNA kit at 23andMe.com/games. That's the number 23andme.com/games. Again, that's 23andMe.com/games. Next up is Hims. 66% of people lose their hair by the age 35. And the thing is, once those guys start to notice it, it's too late. It's easier to keep what you have than try to get back what you lost. Go to 4hims.com. It's a one-stop shop for hair loss, sexual wellness, and skincare for men. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. You get well-known generic equivalents to name-brand prescriptions to help you keep your hair, and there's no waiting room, no awkward in-person doctor visits when you go to 4hims.com, just like Nick Scarpino and Andy Cortez did. They took photos of their hairline, went on to 4hims.com, got paired up with the doctor, and got those generic equivalents sent to them. And now Nick steals Andy's gummies, and Andy gets very angry. Order now. My listeners get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last. See the website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to a doctor or a pharmacy. Go to 4hims.com/gamesdaily. That's FORHIMS.com/gamesdaily. 4hims.com/gamesdaily. And finally, it's Quip. There's a buzzy gift on everyone's list this year. It's something they'll use twice a day. It was featured on Oprah's O-List, and it's perfect for everyone with a mouth. That's right! Gift of the year is Quip, an electronic toothbrush designed to make brushing better. Quip was designed to make your brushing process simple, affordable, and even enjoyable. Quip makes holiday travels clean and easy with a multi-use cover that mounts to mirrors and unmounts to slide over the bristles for on-the-go brushing. Quip doesn't require a clunky charger and runs for 3 months on one charge. It's the gift that keeps on refreshing. The brush heads are automatically delivered on a dentist-recommended schedule every 3 months for $5, and you can even gift prepaid refills for a year to make sure they're never using old, worn out, ineffective bristles. That's why Nick loves it. I want to use it real bad. I need to use the offer code. Still haven't, but Nick on the other time, brushing over there. Gia, brushing all the time, having a good time. Do you use it? I forget.
I have a Quip, yeah. It's nice. It's sleek. I got the silver one, the metallic one.
I gotta get moving on this.
It's great.
Everybody's using Quip. Quip looks like a big ticket tech gift with a stocking stuffer price starting at just $25. If you go to getquip.com/games right now, you get your first refill pack free with a Quip electronic toothbrush. But you don't have to tell the gifty that. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/games. Alexandros writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, how would you introduce someone over 50 to gaming? Which games would you start with? That's a good question.
That's a great question. It's actually a question we get quite often, and it's not necessarily over 50, but just people who are new to gaming in general.
Yeah.
And I have, you know, previously said and stand by that mobile gaming is a great way to get people in because sure. A lot of us are using smartphones. Almost everybody's using a smartphone now, with the exception of my grandma who still uses a T9 input.
My dad has a flip phone still.
Yeah. And so like we are used to tapping on the glass and kind of interfacing with a touchscreen. Sure. So that's a really nice and easy way. Or you can start with an adventure game, like a traditional kind of point and click adventure game.
Yeah.
Something like from the Telltale series, all those games. Sure. Are really
Walking
easy
Dead,
to navigate.
Game of Thrones, something like that, right?
Yeah, because you don't want to jump somebody into something that's 3D that requires movement and camera control with dual sticks, because that's really kind of a foreign thing. If we all remember back to when we first learned
way back.
It just takes some time, and maybe that's not the best way to onboard somebody.
I think, honestly, and this is, you know, Alexandros, I don't understand exactly why you're introducing them. Just to show them what games are, or to try to get them into games, or so on and so forth. I know it sounds crazy. Stick with me. If it is just to show them why you love games and what games are and where they are right now, I do think VR is a really interesting way to do it, right?
Yeah, like, definitely.
My mom has watched me for years play a game on a screen, but when she came and visited a long time ago, when we had PSVR for the first time, we did a whole bunch of Let's Plays with her on Kinda Funny, and her excitement of seeing her hands and doing this, it was amazing. And to see on the PlayStation VR subreddit over Thanksgiving the amount of people whose families took to Beat Saber like a duck to water, because crank it to the easiest thing and just have them use lightsabers to smash stuff, it's like, oh, I get this, I can wrap my head around this.
But I would argue that the setup of VR is the prohibitive part of that.
Sure.
Unless you're always going to be around to help them set it up.
Well, again, that's my thing is I even need to
look on YouTube like to remind myself how to put my VR set together.
This is my thing of, I'm not saying this is how, I'm interested. I want you to play games and buy all this stuff. I would not start with PlayStation VR. But if it was simply like, hey, I think video games are a transformative media and amazing, I want to show you something that will blow your mind, that's what I would drop them
Agree.
Into.
Yeah. Okay, no, okay. VR is super impressive. We brought it home to the Drakes last year for Christmas and had the cousins and everybody tried and everybody loved it.
Sure.
I think that, you know, any kind of handheld device is good too. You know, if you have like a 2DS or a 3DS laying around that you're not using, it might be a good way to, you know, re-gift it or be like, hey, I'm not using this anymore, but it's a really easy way to kind of
get a brain age on there or something. Yeah,
exactly. Because video games are great at stimulating your brain and keeping your mental health active into the twilight years.
Yeah.
I mean, there's lots of research about that. So if you have like grandparents that maybe, you know, have a lot of downtime because they are no longer caring for children or anything else, like, maybe that's a good way for them to pass their time, is to keep their brain going.
100%. Question. Mm-hmm. You brought the VR home to the Drakes, as you said.
Yes.
Are all the Drakes as cynical, as jaded, as biting as your husband? Or did he just get that, you know?
He's actually a very upbeat, wonderful guy. But
yeah, sure, yeah. But he's got that tinge to him.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. No, they are not. They're very lovely, sweet people. His brother has a really sharp sense of humor, too.
Yeah.
So when they get together, they'll banter a lot.
Back and forth. And yeah. I don't like that. Quid pro quo. Breaking news from You're Wrong. Zaire reports the Fortnite cross-account merge feature has been delayed to early 2019.
Shocking, nobody. Because
today was the last day that was it's going to happen in November, they said. Today the clock was ticking, I guess, on it. You know, sand through the hourglass. Isaac Ramirez writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, what is up, Greg and Andrea? So yesterday it was announced that the Russo brothers are going to be part of the Video Game Awards, the Game Awards. And of course, people started speculating that they were going to show the trailer for the fourth Avengers movie. However, I feel this is unlikely because Game Awards have a niche audience that doesn't have the viewership of a Disney event or the Oscars. My question is simple. Do you guys think they are going to show Square Enix's Avengers project? Maybe Square Enix is using the Russo brothers to hype up the event and have more people come and watch the new trailer. Or do the brothers have an unannounced game project that they are want to reveal at the event? Or maybe it's just nothing and their kids like Fortnite and they want to be cool parents. What are your thoughts? Love every single thing you guys do. And thanks for keeping me sane on my college years as I struggle to get an engineering degree. Mucho amor from Puerto Rico, Isaac Ramirez.
Jeff wouldn't have made it a PR beat or a marketing beat if they didn't have something to talk about. They would have just shown, if they were just fans and they wanted to come and be part of the event and be there, he would have invited them, given them seats and been like, come as my guest.
Yeah.
But if they're like, we don't want to talk to anybody, we're not announcing anything, he would have respected that and been like, just come and enjoy the show.
Yeah.
So the fact that they are working together and being like, these guys are coming, there's
definitely
an announcement
happening.
Yeah, but they're
saying they're presenters. That's what they're labeled as on the little image,
okay.
Right?
Okay.
Now, again, I did not know this was happening when I predicted this yesterday morning, or when I was just like, this would be cool if this happened. Did not know any of this.
Well, maybe there's going to be a new trailer that's not debuting at the Game Awards, but that's just going to be released by Marvel that morning that goes worldwide. And then they're there to be like, hey, did you catch our new trailer this morning?
The rumor
that would make more sense.
The rumor from Tim Geddes master of hype on all things Marvel, is that apparently the tie-in comic prequel comic books or whatever start dropping next Wednesday. So next Wednesday, we should know the subtitle for Avengers. So that's where everybody's like, there has to be a trailer early next week at some point to get ready for that. Which then, yeah, you could capitalize off and go from there. There's a few different things to it. I do not think it is that crazy, insane, impossible that, yeah, they would debut the Avengers trailer there. I know it sounds crazy.
And you mean the Avengers movie or the Avengers game?
I mean
game?
The Avengers movie.
I think you're out of your mind.
I don't think it's... I don't. So hold on. Everybody calm down. Everybody put down the pitchforks and everything else. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility. I think the Game Awards are about at that tipping point. Into the, you know, they're talking about, oh man, but like, it won't have the event, Disney event viewership, or or it won't have a normal Disney event viewership. It won't have the Oscars viewership. When's the last time you'll turn into Jimmy Kimmel for a clip, but every Avengers trailer for the last one I watched on my phone on YouTube.
Right.
If they're going to go like, all right, cool, Jeff has it timed out that it's going live. Somebody's just going to click a button on the Marvel channels and 90% of the world would never even know it was at the Game Awards, but the Game Awards audience would, and then it would be a huge beat for Jeff in PR. It would be a huge beat for the Russo brothers, who are like, we love Fortnite and we wanted to be a part of this. Like, there's a lot of weird things in motion there.
I'd be with you if the Game Awards were in the morning. It's too late in the day to debut a trailer of that magnitude for East Coast news.
Right.
So I think the trailer will debut ahead of the Game Awards.
And then they can just ride that.
And maybe they reference it when they're on stage. Sure. Maybe we actually get a real trailer from Square Enix's Avengers game.
Now, here's where I think is an interesting wrinkle. I think, and this is where I know that I'm crazy, Andrew. You don't have to tell me. Okay. I think the likelihood would be that the Russo brothers are there. What are they going to talk about? I would put all my... I'd bet the house on them doing the movie over the game. I feel like that's a bridge too far to walk in and be like, hey, everybody, we make the Avengers games. Or I'm sorry, we make the Avengers movies. We're really into that. We're excited about the new one, Thanos' Revenge, whatever we're calling it. And now we want to show you Square... Like, I don't think they know anything about that game. I bet Marvel games and Marvel want to make sure that they're keeping it separate, that they aren't tied into the same thing. Let's not muddy the waters and have it do it. If the Russo... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, what if they come on stage, though, with people from Crystal? Right? Like, what if somebody from that team is on stage with them to be like, hey, we're both working on Avengers projects.
Yeah, but that's just a weird...
But, like, Crystal wouldn't want to announce that ahead of time, because then it's like, oh, then we definitely know that they're going to show something.
Sure.
So you focus on the Russo brothers and go, oh, we're going to get a movie thing.
Yeah.
And then don't tee up that we're getting anything from the game at all, and then have it be a surprise.
I still think it's far more likely. Now, here's the most likely thing out of all this is the third option, where I do think they walk out and they present with Donald Mustard. And it is like, we're bringing back the Thanos mode along with some other thing.
That
like,
would be really cool.
Not only is Thanos coming back in Fortnite tonight, we're dropping, you know, the next 24 hours, the skins are going to be a Spider-Man one, and you know, Infinity War, whoever, Gamora. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like they're gonna drop in that kind of thing. I think that's the most likely.
That would be really awesome.
Hell yeah, it would be. You kidding me?
Yeah.
Game Awards Thursday.
I'm so ready.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Totally.
I don't think I've been this hyped for a Game Awards in a while.
What about this one?
And it's weird because I've worked on the last couple of awards and I'm super excited. I think it's because, we're at a time where there's enough properties that we haven't seen anything from. And the wild card of there not being a PSX this year is really what's amping up the hype, because they're not saving anything for PSX. If they have an asset that they want to show before E3 next year, this is the place to do it. Right?
Yeah, no, that's a great point.
I think that's why my enthusiasm is a little bit
peaked. It does feel like the Game Awards where anything can happen.
Right.
It does feel like this is the one where I was like, holy shit, what is actually going to happen out there? Can't wait. Anthony Capaldo writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey Greg, I was wondering if you had any thoughts on the new Ghostbusters World update. My girlfriend has been super into it since your initial recommendation, but now she's saying it's become awful since the update dropped. A quick look at the Ghostbusters World subreddit seems to show a lot of similar opinions. Anthony, no, I'm on the subreddit every day, and I saw all the brouhaha about it yesterday and the day before. They put out an update for it. It fixed some bugs, but then it dialed back a whole bunch. Like, ghosts on the street are more like 1 or 2 stars rather than up to 4 like before. People weren't finding rare stuff. The boss drop rates changed. There's these boson darts that are really powerful. They're not at dimensional doors anymore. They increase the amount of time, Andrea, from 5 to 10 minutes before I can refresh a dimensional door. And it seems like everybody's super, super pissed.
Yeah, it's tough when you have a game that's built for microtransactions and then they put it out into the wild and then they balance it to make it less forgiving.
Well, the problem, even the balancing of it maybe that's what they were doing. Hopefully that's what they were doing. The reaction from the community on the subreddit especially has been like, they're trying to just get our money now.
Obviously.
Yeah, because
they have to keep funding the game, development of the game, but it's, you want them to have like a happy medium of balancing it where it doesn't feel so punishing to players that have been in since day one.
100%. And that was my thing with Ghostbusters World, is that for a while there, every day, you know, the entire, from when I wake up to when I got to work, I was doing it. I had it on my desk for a while. And then I hit the grind wall of what it was, is like leveling up my team and stuff. And I was like, oh, this isn't even that enjoyable or whatever. And then I wasn't getting new ghosts anymore. And I was kind of hit the saw. So I kind of stopped playing, at least as hard as I was. I was still turning it on, doing stuff. But yeah, everything they said about their changes here and updates, I was like, I don't know about that. But yeah. 10 minutes now. I don't know. What do you do? Nick Scarpino, what do you feel about the Ghostbusters World update? Cool, Greg. We need that shock mic up.
Your show, because I promised a fellow co-host of the Kind of Funny Morning Show, Andrew Renee, that I'd get her lunch today.
Oh, okay.
And I want to know if she wants anything from Chipotle.
I will text you my order.
Sounds good. Bye.
Can I get someone from Chipotle? You know what I mean?
Sorry, Greg. We just don't have time for that.
Well, look at how sad he is, Nick.
Have her text.
Chips and guac.
Yeah.
And then I want a side of carne asada, because I brought a salad. I'll just dump that on there.
Chips and guac and a side of carne asada?
Yeah.
Done.
A very Nick Scarpino order, if I ever heard one.
Hey, man.
Hey.
The meat gets it done.
Jesus God. Is that really what they say? I don't know if that's what they say.
The meat gets it done.
All right. Joe writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, are we having the right conversations about how we talk about Fallout 76? What we should be talking, and he recapped everybody being mad about the bag, about the crashes, about this. Mm-hmm. What we should be talking about is why this game was released in this state at all. The game was clearly not ready. I refuse to believe Bethesda didn't know what state the game was in. Bluntly, it feels like a holiday cash grab. The average gamer didn't see Pete Hines tweet about expecting bugs. They don't watch or consume games media en masse. They saw ads for multiplayer Fallout on TV in various websites and remembered how much they liked the previous games. Call me cynical, but I find it hard to believe they didn't know the state of the game was in and asked for $60 anyway. Furthermore, I don't see how this wouldn't be a long-lasting black eye to all their brands. I know I do not trust this engine to make modern games anymore, single player or not. Others have proven you can make their style of games with much less jank. Joe taking him to task. Many people upset about Fallout 76.
I feel like we've had this conversation and that we've said the same thing. Like, I agree that they should not have asked for $60 for this game.
Yeah.
Or if they're going to ask for that, they should have delayed the game at least 3 months to fix these bugs and leave it in beta for a while. Leave it in beta for like a few months. Why not? Get it all, all the kinks worked out, get the balancing, the microtransactions, all of it like worked out, and then re-release it for retail at the $60 price point and say, you know, this is now the final game.
Sure. Yeah, I think taking a beta, we're launching it in beta, would have given them a lot more goodwill. And you could still sell early access and sell all the different
everything down that line. There's plenty of people that want to be part of a founders program to be part of that dialogue with the developers to say, I'm willing to pay to get in, and you get exclusive founders items. We've seen several games do this, and there is an audience for it. I think the reason why people are so upset is because they didn't do any of that, and we trusted Bethesda and Bethesda Game Studio to do right by us because of how well they've made games in the past, and they just completely whiffed it here. And this whole fiasco with the collector's edition, with the helmet, with the bag, the canvas bag, was just like, are you kidding me right now?
Yeah,
you
know, just can't get out of this hole.
And like, I have nothing but respect for Bethesda. You know, you and I both have talked to Pete several times, and like, that team over there is wonderful, and they're usually really good about communicating with their audience about this stuff and even take it on the chin when they need to.
Yeah.
But I feel like they haven't here, and that's really disappointing.
Yeah, we did yesterday's Gamescast. That's now up on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and will be free for everybody Monday on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services around the globe. The topic of the show is like, how would you fix this? How would you fix everything that's happening right now? And there, you know, for me, the main default was that thing of, at this point, they need to overshare everything, right? Like, they're putting up the Reddit responses, they're putting out the patch notes, but still, there needs to be some mea culpa interview or Twitch stream from them, right? Where it is like, here's what happened, here's how it got so off track, here's what we're doing to fix it, and here's how we're rewarding you for still being with us.
Right.
Because that's the thing right now people feel, is like you're saying, like Joe's saying, right? Like, they feel betrayed. They feel like they thought they could trust this, and they can't now. And I don't think that between Fallout 76 and every other awesome Bethesda published game, let alone Bethesda Game Studios game we've enjoyed before, the companies become twirly mustache, rubbing their hands together.
Like, no, of course not.
You make the point, Joe, that yeah, they knew this game was not up to snuff, and they still put it out, and they didn't delay it, and that's why, like, I always go back to the time they put up the letter, right? Of like, next week we're launching this game, and it's what we've always dreamed of for Fallout. It's going to be rough. At which point we were like, oh shit, that means it's going to be broken as fuck. You know what I mean?
But
like,
then delay the retail release, right?
Like, I hear you.
I can only give them so much credit for trying to get ahead of it by saying it's not going to be what
this
you think.
This wasn't me patting them on the back for that statement. This was me being like, oh, between the lines, if somebody says ahead of time it's going to be bad, it's going to be horrible.
Well, and the trouble with that is when you have a game in a retail environment, like in a Best Buy, GameStop, Target, what have you, how do you communicate that message to the consumer?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's like, that's the real trouble here, especially going into a holiday season where parents are like, oh, you know, little Jimmy loves Fallout, you know, and then they go in and
Timmy,
they're like,
Tammy, Tommy, they were all about Fallout, if I remember correctly.
And then the person behind the counter is like, well, there's a new Fallout. And then what is it on? Is it on them to communicate to the buyer?
Hey, this game's not fully
baked. That it's broken,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Or it's like only broken for some people. It may be broken for you and maybe not. Who knows? Like, that's not fair to put on the retail side of it. And so I think what's really troubling is that they haven't just said, yo, we need to like maybe pull this from shelves, stop selling it and fix it, and then we'll bring it back when it's ready. You know, and like the idea that they're not even, that there's only certain people that are getting refunds and not everybody has been able to get a refund is also really troubling.
Yeah.
And I just like, the whole thing just makes me really disappointed and
sad.
Sure,
what a shitty situation.
Yeah.
For everyone involved.
Because I'm like, come on, Bethesda. We all love you. You're better than this.
Here's the question I want to bring you in. You know what I mean? Because I always invite you on Gamescast, and you're always like, no, I got to go hang out with Britt. Do you think there'll be a Bethesda E3 press conference this year?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do. Because I think they have to talk about Starfield, and what better place to do it at their own press conference?
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to do what they did last year. I think that format was not necessarily...
You're telling me Andrew WK is not going to be there this year?
Dude, that was a kick-ass performance.
Oh, yeah. I saw you in the crowd.
Yeah, it was great. But, you know, they definitely have some other things to talk about. I mean, but maybe not. Maybe they say, hey, like, that was a lot of money for us to put that on.
Yeah.
Maybe we focus on doing either a community event like they did with Bethesda Land.
Yeah.
Or maybe they partner up with Xbox, because they have been partnering with Xbox on a couple of their past titles, and say, let's debut Starfield on the Xbox stage.
Yeah. It's going to be fascinating. What I was saying yesterday on Gamescast is I don't think that there's enough time between now and then to change enough of the public opinion on it to then do an E3 press conference and not have it be like tainted by everything that's happened with Fallout 76.
I think there's more than enough time.
You think so?
Oh yeah, I think by February and March of next year people will not be angry about this anymore.
Really?
I think there'll be obviously a core group of people who are like hashtag never forget.
Yeah,
but I think the way that the modern news cycle works is that there's always something happening, and there'll be a new thing for people to be upset about, and like this Bethesda thing will get swept under the rug.
My thought would be on this, right? Like you look at Fallout 76 and you hope, right, that it's able to do a No Man's Sky, or it's able to do a Destiny Forsaken, right? And I think Destiny is a better example. I feel that they're going to, like, the Forsaken, like, they're Forsaken, the Fallout 76 Forsaken, right, to save them kind of thing. Is in the same way Destiny...
I disagree with your analogy
Go
here.
Go ahead, please. No, tell me.
I don't think Destiny ever suffered from the issues that Fallout 76 is suffering from. I think it's like apples to oranges, what the problems with Destiny.
Oh, no, I'm not saying Destiny was broken or anything. I'm just saying that I feel like Destiny was on the tracks, remember, where it was like, all right, we have a bunch of updates coming. They're not the ones you guys, the hardcore Destiny, want. That's right. A bigger one coming. That's what we're going to be. I feel like Fallout 76 is in a similar thing of it. Well, it's in a similar thing of, in terms of actual game content, of like, mm-hmm. we hear you. You want more events. You want the maps to spread out, blah, blah, blah. That's going to be the stuff we fix in for our Forsaken update. But between then, we still have to make the game fucking run, and people not being in T-pose and enemies not getting caught and stuff. And I feel like...
I think the reason I think it's different, sorry to interrupt you, is that, you know, Destiny had pre-sold these expansion passes, and so they had an obligation to put out these tentpole pieces of content, which is why they had to handle the messaging around Forsaken the way that they did, you know, with the other two expansions that came out, you know, Warmind and Curse of Osiris. Fallout 76 doesn't have that obligation, right? They haven't talked about DLC or expansion passes at all, which was blissful for them, right? Like, thank goodness they haven't, because now they can say, we hear you, which they have, right? They've already responded to the community to be like, we're fixing stuff, and now they can continue to fix it. I think they're going to stumble again if they try to put out paid content before they fix the base content that people have already paid for.
Yeah.
I think if they're going to release anything new content-wise, it has to all be free.
Sure, that's a great point. But the problem I have with trying to envision them doing an E3 press conference, right, is that the way all of this works, right, in public opinion and games media and so on and so forth, is they're going to keep putting out patches that fix stuff, right? Mm-hmm. They've already detailed the first two that are coming out to fix this, increased storage, yada, yada, yada. None of that ever is sexy enough to get the headlines, right? And even then, you're just trying to get your game back up to a more passable level, not influencing the content that you're actually playing and what you're doing. So I feel like if you've done all that and you've done the maintenance updates to make the game playable for everybody and it's not crashing and this isn't happening and da-da-da-da, that by the time you get to E3 and you're like, all right, cool, now we have, hey, everybody, here's this giant thing of content that our Forsaken update, I'm just going to keep calling it, right? I feel like you'd have that reaction of, if you're not playing the game anymore, it's just going to be the eye roll of like, not tricking me again. We remember Fallout 76, and not even the hashtag We Remember Crew.
Yeah.
But just being like, why would I ever listen to you guys again?
I think that they could maybe garner some goodwill if Pete comes out and says, hey, like, we fucked that up. And like, Pete seems like the guy that would be comfortable doing that.
But that's as a studio seems like, or I mean, a publisher feels, yes, 100%. This is why I love them. They are not even up until now. They are a no-nonsense studio.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
They're the ones who are like, fuck Nazis.
Well, exactly. Punch them all in the face.
Yeah.
He comes out, he says, we realize that we goofed. Like, we didn't do this the right way. That's on us. We want to make it right. This is how we're going to make it right. We're rolling out an update for this, for this, for this. And then at the end of all of the things that they're addressing, they say something like, and to, you know, to get you back in the game and playing, we're going to give everyone X amount of in-game currency for free to kind of incentivize you to come back and check it out.
Yeah.
I think if they do that, if they go out of their way to say, we're going to give you something as like an apology, I think that would go a long way.
100%. And that's, I think, the biggest thing with the canvas bag fuck up, right? Was like, it could have been very simple to be like,
easily could have just given them a $50 or $100 of in-game currency. It cost
ding, ding,
them
ding,
nothing.
Ding, 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 ding. 1,000% correct, Andrea. Where, yeah, I was like, $500?
$5? That's like a spit in somebody's face.
I mean, and that was my thing. I was talking about, I would have given $50. $100, sure.
Because like $100 or $200 collector's edition,
right,
like 100 of that or 70 to 100 of that is probably like the game and DLC, right? The in-game digital stuff.
Sure.
And then like that helmet was fantastic. That's really the bulk of what that cost is the helmet. And then the bag was like, I'm like you, I'm like, this is a flimsy bag. Yeah, I'm whatever. Like, whatever.
I didn't even think about it.
But you're right. Like, without a doubt, they advertised it wrong, incorrect. It's a cut and dried case of false advertising. To make it right and to prevent an FTC lawsuit against you, just give them away the price of it.
And
it's
was
not that hard.
And that was my whole thing with the atoms and the in-game currency, right? Give so much that it's, even if you didn't like the game at first blush, be like, well, I got to get in and redeem this, right? And hopefully time it with a patch where the game's running better and doing different things, because that would bring people back in of like, well, I'll go buy a suit or whatever.
Right.
I'm sure eventually this is going to work. I might as well get in there and do it.
Yeah.
I digress. Barack Obama, former president, writes in thekindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, this last June, I wrote into Kind of Funny Games Daily speculating that the video game industry was in a bubble and it was about to deflate. The KFGD crew largely refuted these claims. Let's take a look at the industry today. Battlefield 5 and Fallout 76 have sold abysmally. Activision and shareholders were largely disappointed with Call of Duty and Destiny Forsaken sales. Even Red Dead did not sell as well as its predecessor, GTA 5.
Never was going
Shut
to.
Shut up. Let him dig his own grave. Okay. Stock price in Activision, EA, and even Take-Two are down significantly from their yearly highs. Do you think the industry is starting to experience some growing pains, or was the holiday just overly crowded this year?
I think,
Brock, I'm sorry, Mr. President. I wish we could say you were right, you nailed it, but no, like these are just the trends. There's winners and losers every holiday. And yes, there's no way Red Dead was going to be as successful as GTA 5. That's not how that works. Yes, Activision, the biggest like publisher / video game company, is never happy with any of their sales because they want everyone else crushed under their wheels.
Even though it's still the number one selling game of the year, Black Ops 4.
Yeah, like I think with all due respect, Barack, we're cherry picking things here, right? Like we could go, well, Spider-Man's the best selling PlayStation exclusive of all time, right? And like, yeah, Switch again is another one we talked about recently that looks like it's going to fall short of its lofty sales goals.
But did you see that Bloomberg article that came out today?
Yeah. Oh, which one was today? They're big on the holiday or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we talked about that a couple days ago with all the other stuff. That there's just so many different moving pieces. I don't think this was the bubble for video games. I think it was people being too aggressive and not even. I mean, again, Battlefield 5 and Fallout 76. I can't speak to Battlefield. Have you played Battlefield?
No, I've downloaded it. It's sitting on my Xbox One waiting for me.
I mean, for Fallout, right? It's a game that's not that great. It's a game I enjoy, don't get me wrong, here and there, but like it's not that great. So like that, we can't look at that and be like, well, bubbles burst. Battlefield 5, shipping without its Battle Royale mode. Kind of seems like an incomplete game, and that's hard to get people behind.
And it's so, so crowded right now, and EA has done this before. If they had even delayed that game to January, I think that would have helped that game light years to get out of the wake of all of the open world games that came out for September and October. Trying to put it out now, especially since like they haven't quite recovered DICE as a studio from what happened with Battlefront. And while Battlefield has a dedicated base of players, that's not enough to invigorate the people who maybe aren't interested in Call of Duty Black Ops 4, but are interested in the World War II stories that you're going to get in Battlefield 5.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. It just feels like such a miss for them this year. It's disappointing.
I mean, there's just been no fanfare for it, right? Mm-hmm. I have heard no one talk
and
about it.
Just to be clear, we're not saying that game is bad.
Not at all.
We're just saying that no one's talking about it.
Exactly. So yeah, I don't think this is the sign the bubble has burst for video games. I think they're still doing pretty well.
Oh, they're doing better than they ever have as far as the financials are concerned. So I think it's just sprinkled out. It's kind of spreading the wealth around a little bit more than it has in previous years. And I think that's not a bad thing. I think, you know, it's good to get some other players in to help diversify what the offering is. It's not good for the gaming community if one or two publishers are holding all the cards all the time.
Yeah. Darth Poopsie writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, so the Order 1886 came and went, and now the team went silent. Do you think there could be a sequel? I know the first game wasn't well received, but I enjoyed most of it, except the werewolf fights. Those were awful. And they set up a really cool world. I'd be kind of disappointed if they weren't given a second chance to wow us. Well, Darth, I mean, this isn't me making fun of you. Like, Ready at Dawn has been far from silent.
Yeah, they've been working on really cool VR projects.
Exactly. They are the ones who did Echo Arena. Then they had the sequel. What was the other one? It was Echo Arena.
Echo Combat.
Those games are awesome. And they also did that weird multiplayer thing that was like your little balls attacking each other or whatever.
Oh, yes. The one that the GameStop's studio
exactly.
published.
Yeah. So they haven't been quiet.
Me right now.
Yeah, me either. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. They have not been quiet. Yeah, they just haven't been quiet. They've been quiet on the Order. I think, yeah, you're not getting an Order sequel.
Deformers is the name of the game.
Deformers, right. I wouldn't even say, the Order was, you know, it was what it was. I found it to be kind of boring. Beautiful game.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't think there's enough people clamoring for that. And I think PlayStation's found so much success that they don't need to worry about, hey, we got to make a sequel to the Order.
But if anybody wants to spend a lot of money making a beautiful piece of art, it's PlayStation
first
party.
It is PlayStation first party. You're right. So we'll see. And then, did you put this one on here?
What? No, I have not touched these show notes at all.
I didn't like that question. I don't like how it got in there. I'm not doing it. I'm going away. Time to squad up, Andrea. This is where one of you writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, username, platform choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, Craig Conway needs help on the PlayStation 4. His PSN is Conway23, all one word. Conway23 says, Need companions in Red Dead Online, even if it's just to keep an eye on me so I can check out my map without getting hogtied by some... Oh, he says the big C word. Oh, we understand.
Don't. No, don't do it.
Well, he, I mean, he could, you know, maybe he's over in the UK. Because when I was in London,
it's
I was
all
throwing
the time.
Around the C word left and right, man. What? Huh? Am I taking out the time codes?
Don't put it in the time codes.
I'd cut it out.
No.
Yeah, I'd cut it out. Cool, Greg. I mean, again,
there's
whatever.
Just no need to put it.
Whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's,
I mean,
it's fine.
But we're not. We're,
his point is getting across without you having to write it out.
If you want to debate the C word with Conway 23, hit him up on PSN. Play Red Dead with him. Andrew, it's time for You're Wrong. This is where people write in to kindoffunny.com/You're Wrong. We've been doing it live a little bit here and there. We've been mixing on the fly. You want to do it or you want me to do it? I see you over there.
I'm looking
a lot of editorializing
for a bad PSN name story that somebody tweeted to me. And they're like, you guys keep missing my bad PSN name story in the thing. So I'm looking for
I don't know if I'm missing it as much as I'm just not using it because I do that. You keep looking and I'll go through. I'm going to run through You're Wrong, people who have written to say all this different stuff. A lot of editorializing, guys. Not necessarily being wrong. Oh, here we go. Finally, Ignacio Rojas writes in and says, Tommy was an alcoholic and very into Fallout 4. He would often neglect his son Timmy while playing Fallout. His wife Tammy was cheating on him with her ex-husband, who I believe made pies. Someone in that equation made pies, correct? Zaire calls out the fact that there was a Jumanji trailer in Shape of Water last year. Not nearly as big as the Avengers 4, but yes. And again, we weren't wrong. Here you go. The KFGD guy says, according to NPD, game spending is up 73% from last year and console sales are up 19%. So you're wrong, Mr. President. Albino Yeti says, Andrea mentioned on the morning show she would talk about the female nominees at the Game Awards in KFGD.
Oh, yeah. So somebody wrote in on, I think, one of the tips to ask about the kind of lack of diversity that we're seeing in some of the nominees this year. Uh-huh. And I'm with you that there certainly is, particularly in the performance category. But it's tough because year to year, you know, you don't necessarily want to shoehorn somebody in as a nominee just because they're a woman or just because they're a person of color.
Sure.
As a woman, I never want to be shoehorned into something if I'm not qualified for it. Just because you're like, we need
to hit a quota. Yeah.
Right? And so it's a tough call year to year.
So they're talking about the performances. Is it just Cassandra?
Yeah, I'm just using that one category as an example.
Okay.
I don't remember the exact question, but it's definitely obvious this year that there isn't as much representation. And I think if you look at the other categories, the content creator category, mm-hmm. and some of the esports categories, like there's just not a lot of diversity there.
Yeah.
And that's disappointing. But the problem is that, you know, we just represent one vote each, right?
Yeah.
Our outlets do. There are, you know, 60 plus other people that are voting. So unless everybody chooses to want to nominate people that deserve to have a highlight instead of who their favorite is, you know, that's their choice, and there's nothing we can do about it, unfortunately.
Sure,
except constantly, like Greg is doing, bringing smaller creators on the show and tweeting about people, and like you guys do, you let us know which streamers you like, and you guys host other people's channels here on the Kinda Funny Twitch channel. Like, you know, you got to just do every little bit you can to try to highlight people who are doing great stuff that maybe would never.
And it's that thing too. For the, you know, the performer category, right? Like, really, there should just be one nominee, Cassandra. So it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? And I'll give it. Kratos did a pretty good job. Brian Decker, whatever. But Cassandra, right?
She's great.
Cassandra.
Yeah.
All right. So it doesn't matter.
About the girl that played Kara in Detroit Become Human?
She's great too. She
we
was great on the
her.
Following, a great Kevin Bacon show none of you watched enough and that got canceled.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying the following, you should watch season one because it ends really well. Season two, not that great. And then the guy got kind of canceled. But yeah. Yeah. No, I hear you. Cassandra should win though.
I can't find this. I've gone through
again,
this thing twice
now. Again, I don't like
now.
Them trying to subvert this of like, oh, I write it all the time and you guys don't read it. That probably a reason. I read everything you guys write in. It's not that like I'm blind to it or you're doing it wrong. Your story probably wasn't that great. I'm just saying. I don't know. Maybe I missed it. I'm just kidding. I didn't miss
it. Oh, here's the actual question. Yeah. I was looking at Twitter and saw people, some of you know, aren't happy with the number of women nominated at the Game Awards and the number of female presenters. Well, he has not announced the presenter list. Oh,
the presenters is what they're upset about. Yeah. That's interesting.
Women nominated and the number of female presenters.
See, now that's where, here's where we get into an interesting discussion then. That is fascinating. And yeah, you're right. We don't know everybody who's been, a presenter. But yeah, because you mentioned earlier, right, of like, nobody wants to be token, right? So it might be the fact that, yeah, for our one vote and everybody is like, well, these characters in these games were great regardless of sex, right, or gender. These are who we think are the best. We don't need to hit a quota, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Presenters, it does get interesting, right? Because there it is, like, you need, you're cherry picking in terms of, like, who you want to represent the industry and what you want them all to do.
Yeah, I thought in years past that he's done a good job. I mean, could it be better? Of course it could. We don't know the complete list of presenters because I guarantee you it's still coming together last minute. Clearly, Jeff tweeted about it not that long ago.
I mean, and thank you to everybody who nominated us. Pepe the King Prawn is presenting. Can we just be happy with that? You know what I mean? I think Robin Honeykey's doing it too, though, right?
Isn't she? She's great.
Well, we love Robin. Yeah, she's a friend of the show.
Justine is usually on stage. Yeah, she's great. Yeah. Kiki Wolfkill usually makes an appearance. She's great.
Kiki Wolfkill, she's badass.
She really is.
If I can just say that. Hold on, I'm looking here. What am I going to know? I'm looking at Robin. I think Robin's up there. But yeah, I think the main thing is we don't know everybody yet.
Right.
So yeah. And I do think that, yeah, Jeff does a pretty great job.
I think the question that Madeline really wants to have us answer, though, is do you think there are still more barriers of entry for young girl gamers, and were your parents supportive of introducing you to playing video games? I think, like... So, yes, my parents were supportive. I tell the story all the time about how I played with my dad constantly. He's the one who got me into games. He told me a really fun story about Black Friday, about how he stood in line to get the Nintendo 64 for me.
Nice.
On Friday when I called him. And I was like, oh, Dad, memories. But as far as barriers to entry for young girl gamers, today, thankfully, the barrier of entry is not nearly as high as when I was a young girl gamer. There are many ways for young girls to get into video games today, which is so fantastic. And I think by the time the girls who are my age, when I was like 8 years old starting, those girls, when they get to be my age now, I think the conversation will be completely different.
Sure. Because you are seeing that, and that's the thing of, I mean, as an outsider, obviously, just somebody who's, watching the industry. You talk about esports player, right? And of course, everybody knows who watches this. I know shit about esports. But I remember it being a big deal when that there was a woman signed to an esports team, and it was like the first woman on that esports team. And so even though she hasn't been nominated for esports player of the year, I assume, I don't remember who got nominated, right? Now you have little girls.
Yeah, Kaguri, that's what I thought it was.
You have little girls seeing her make it to a thing, which makes it real in their mind that that's a real thing for them, so they keep playing. It's the same way with developers, right? When people would see somebody like Lori Cole or whoever, a female developer out there, you're like, oh, that is an opportunity for me, and go that way. So that, yes, in what sucks, a generation, 15 years, whatever, it's in a different spot.
Yeah.
But there's so many people seeing that and chasing their dreams. You hope that it continues to change that way, too.
Absolutely.
No. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD. With your questions, comments, concerns, bad PSN names for a little while longer, make them good. Don't bitch to Andrea about it and try to go above me. I won't allow it! Watch us record it live, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. And listen on podcast services around the globe. Next week, the hosts look like this. Monday, me and Tim. Tuesday, me and Andrea. Wednesday, Greg and Witta. Thursday, Tim and Jared. Friday, Tim and mystery guest. Because I haven't booked it. We'll be doing Game Awards stuff, And Friday, I'll be getting ready for the showcase. It's close.
So exciting.
Until next time, ladies and gentlemen. It's been our pleasure to serve you.